Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
It's time to wake to sleep with the number one sleep authority, Sleep Science Today, and Sleep Better Tonight.
If sleep training were as simple as following a schedule, why are so many loving, consistent parents still completely exhausted? We're going to find out about that in the upcoming show of Sleep Science Today, so join us soon. Welcome to Sleep Science Today. We are here today. We have a special episode. We're going to be talking with Jane Havens. She is a certified sleep consultant and owner-founder of Center for Pediatric Sleep Management. I'm your host, Andrew Kolsky, and we have some exciting information to learn about today because this is a whole new area that we haven't touched yet. So Jane Havens, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to have this conversation with you today.
Great. And we're glad you took the time out of your schedule to join us. So in your title, it says certified sleep consultant. So I think we ought to start off with, what does that mean? What does a sleep consultant do?
Sure. So sleep consultants support parents through the process of establishing healthy and independent sleep habits for their children. Generally speaking, pediatric sleep consultants are working with infants, toddlers, preschoolers. I personally support families that have children up to about age 8 or 9. So when I'm working with families that have infants, we are coaching them through sleep training. And when I'm working with families that have older children, I guess I would still put it in the category of sleep training, but it's more about building a child's confidence, building parents' confidence around setting boundaries with respect to what it looks like to go to bed at bedtime and stay in the room all night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of things for us to talk about with that, because I hear lots of questions from parents on all sorts of things, from co-sleeping to when do they go into their own room? How do I get them to stay there? So we'll get into all that as we talk about this. But let me ask, the age range that you typically would work with is what? Give us top and bottom range.
Yeah. So some sleep consultants are supporting families with newborns, literally just a few weeks old. And at that phase, we call it sleep shaping or sleep conditioning, where we're just sort of implementing general routines, healthy sleep habits, you know, putting into place a bedtime routine, making sure the environment is on point, making sure their daytime schedule is as age appropriate as possible. And then as the babies get a little bit older, then we're putting into place some clearer, firmer boundaries around what it looks like to fall asleep and back to sleep independently. I personally work with families that have children or babies 12-ish weeks and up. And then the oldest child I've ever supported, I think, was 11, but I prefer to stay in that 7 or 8 age range to be the top.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, thanks for clarifying that for us. So before we get into more of the details, let's take some time and learn a little bit about you. How does one get into the sleep consultant business, and what brought you in this direction?
Sure. So I actually grew up and always wanted to be an event planner. That was my story. And I had a mother that was always entertaining. And I grew up around, people throwing really nice parties. And I always just wanted to get in on that. And so after I graduated college, I went into that field. I worked for a really big fancy catering company. I worked nights, weekends, holidays, and loved my work. But I always knew that it wasn't going to be super conducive to being around for my children, because I literally worked all day and then I was at events every night and all weekend. And so when my son was born 13 years ago, I left my career in catering sales and I was home with him. And when he was a brand new baby, he actually was a great sleeper out of the gate. He was formula fed. He was gaining weight appropriately. He was a happy baby. And, you know, by I think it was 10 weeks, he was basically sleeping through the night. And I thought, like, I'm just the best parent ever. I know what I'm doing. You know, I have all my ducks in a row. And then right at that 4-month mark, he went through what's sort of classically known as the 4-month sleep regression. And he went from sleeping through the night to waking every single hour. And as a brand new parent, I didn't know what that was all about. Why is he doing this? He was sleeping and now he's not. And I went to the bookstore. I literally parked myself on the floor and surrounded myself with a bunch of books and was flipping through. And basically what I learned in a nutshell was that he was being rocked to sleep. That's what I was doing to get him down. And while that was working when he was really, really little, it wasn't working anymore. And so he would, you know, fall asleep with a pacifier in his mouth. I'd rock him to sleep. And an hour later, he was up crying. And I would just pop that passy back in and he was back asleep. And literally it was 11, 12, 1, 2, 3. He was waking up for that pacifier. And so what I learned was that I needed to teach him how to fall asleep with less help from me and without his pacifier. And I did that. I implemented a variation of the Ferber method. He cried for 27 minutes. I also cried for 27 minutes. And then he slept through the night. And it was magical. I couldn't believe it. And every night after that, he slept, you know, unless he was sick or if we were traveling. Of course, there were hiccups along the way. But generally speaking, he became sort of a champion sleeper. And all of my friends were a bit jealous. They wanted to know how I got my baby to sleep through the night. And so I just started helping friends just for fun. It became a hobby. I became really interested in it. I dug really deep. I read books. I was on the message boards online. I was really trying to scoop up any information that I could. And for years, I just did it for fun. I helped friends and friends of friends, and it eventually evolved into helping strangers. My daughter was born 4 years later, and I had so much knowledge at this point that she really slept beautifully. And I did everything that I could to get her into a good routine early on. She happened to be a really great sleeper, but she was a really uncomfortable, sad baby. She had a milk soy protein intolerance. She was colicky. And honestly, I was not enjoying motherhood the second time around. She was just really, really challenging. And I always joke that she drove me to work. Like, she made me want to go get a job. And so I kept thinking, like, I'm really wanting to be home. I want to be present for my children. I don't want to put them in daycare. I don't know how to hire a nanny. That feels really challenging. What can I do to earn some money, have something professionally to, like, keep my brain churning, feel challenged, but still be present with my children? And I had this light bulb moment. I really should be monetizing what I'm already doing. I'm already working. I'm just not getting paid for it. Right. And so I went online. I think I Googled sleep consultant certification. I think I knew it was kind of a thing. And I picked a course that was in my price range. It was online. I didn't need to fly somewhere for several days to get trained. And I went through the program. And what was intended to be a side hustle or passion project really evolved into a really successful business and career for me. And so that's how I got started. I eventually decided to create my own certification program because I saw gaps in what was being taught. Namely, you know, these courses online, they were doing a pretty solid job of teaching the sleep piece, but what they weren't teaching was how to grow a successful business. They weren't teaching you how to network, how to market yourself, how to connect with referral partners, how to articulate your value to families or other professionals for the sake of, you know, referring business. And I saw all of these women coming out of programs just saying, like, now what? You know, like, I know how to support families, but I don't know how to grow a business. How do I find clients? And so I created a program that is, you know, comprehensive, evidence-based, really, really robust in our education with regard to business building and entrepreneurship. I want people coming out of our program to understand how to actually get out there and do the work. Because if you can't find families to support, then you have all of this knowledge and it goes nowhere.
Right.
Right. And that's wonderful. I love hearing that story, how you started from just this need and realized the opportunities and turned it into a business. And I do definitely want to talk about the business end of it in a little bit, because I think there's people who are listening who may be interested in looking into that themselves. But before we get into that, let's give them some more information about what the work actually is. So maybe one good way to do this is if you could walk us through a case study. So you get contacted by someone who has a new baby, let's say, or, you know, a child, and they're running into certain types of issues, and they say, "Help, we have no idea what to do." Walk us through, what does this look like? How long does it take? What do? Did someone go somewhere? Do you go to them? How does it happen?
Yeah. So sleep consulting can be done in person or virtually. I personally support families virtually. I have my own kids to care for. I want to be home to put them to bed at night. So I personally don't want to be working in other people's homes. But there are sleep consultants that will go to a family's home and provide in-person coaching and support. My business structure is that I work with families for a two-week period. Generally speaking, that's enough. If it's not, then we add a third week. But generally speaking, you know, in a week or so, we are in a much, much better spot than when they first reach out to me. Usually families, before they hire me, they want to get onto a phone call with me and just make sure I am someone that they can trust and that they like, right? Because coaching someone through sleep training can often be overwhelming and emotional and stressful. And so there's usually a phone call that takes place first just to make sure that everybody likes each other, right? Mm-hmm. And so I spend about 15 minutes speaking with the parents. I like to get both parents on the call because I want to make sure that they are on the same page with their parenting philosophy, and that, you know, if they're not on the same page, I want to make sure that I'm going to be able to coach them to sort of meet in the middle, however possible. And once they decide to work with me, they pay via my website. Then I email them. It's all automated, but I email them a questionnaire to fill out. The questionnaire will ask them lots of questions about their child, some of which we've talked about on that first 15-minute call, but the questionnaire will catch anything that I forgot to ask them or that they forgot to share. And I'll take all of the information and I'll put together a written plan for them. For infants, the plan will outline an age-appropriate daytime schedule with guidance on naps and feedings. It'll outline a really solid bedtime routine, and then a couple of different options for how to teach the baby to fall asleep with less support than what they're currently receiving. And with toddlers, the plan looks similar, but it's more about communication strategies, role play techniques, and then again, strategies to wean back support if parents are rocking them to sleep or lying in bed with them while they fall asleep. We want to give them options for how to make those changes in a way that resonates with the parents. And after they read through the plan, we all get onto a phone call together. I answer their questions. We land on a technique or strategy that most closely aligns with their parenting style. And then I support them through the process. Support is largely provided via text message and maybe some voice notes back and forth. If necessary, I'm always happy to get onto phone calls with my clients during that two-week period. I just ask that they schedule the phone calls rather than calling me in a panic at 9:30 at night, you know, if their baby wakes crying. But I'm always around at bedtime, at least for the first few nights, to make sure that I can provide them with support and coaching in real time. And, you know, I have a life too. Saturday nights, I tend to go out to dinner with my husband, or there are evenings where I have plans, but I'm always really careful to not start with a family on a night where I'm not going to be available to support them. I always want them to have three-ish nights before I have to say to them, you know what, I might be a little bit more hands-off tonight. I will be back tomorrow, you know? And really, this is all about emotional support, accountability, coaching. A lot of the information, all of the information that I share with my clients is readily available in books, online. You know, you can ask ChatGPT how to sleep train your baby. It really isn't about the information. It's about optimizing the process. Just to give you an example, sometimes parents will send me a video of their baby from the monitor, and I'll notice that the monitor says 79 degrees. And I'll ask them, you know, is that accurate? Because that's really warm. Like, your baby might be really toasty, right? And that's something that the internet is not going to catch for you. That's something that human eyes are going to catch. Or sometimes parents will say, like, he's losing his mind, he's going nuts. And then they send me a video. And actually what I see in that child's body language is that they're burying their face into the mattress, they're swaying back and forth, they're using soothing strategies to sort of calm themselves. And yes, they are crying, they are being noisy, but sometimes my perspective, just because I've literally watched thousands and thousands of videos, I can give parents perspective and I can say to them, you know, I know it sounds like your baby's having a really, really hard time, but actually what I see in your child's body language is that they're actually relaxed, they're comfortable, and they're working themselves to sleep. So let's give it a few minutes and see where we land.
Interesting. Interesting. All right. Well, this is a perfect time for us to take a break. And when we come back from the break, we can talk about some more specific cases, because I've got some questions about specific things that I'm sure you run into all the time. So this is Sleep Science Today. I'm your host, Andrew Kolsky. We will be back with Jane Havens right after the break.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Be sure to visit sleepsciencetoday.com for access to all of our channels and special offers.
Sleep Science Today.
All right. Welcome back to Sleep Science Today. We're talking with Jane Havens and we're talking about sleep consultants. Let's talk about some of the common things that I bet you get. Question one, we got a newborn baby. The parents have never had a child before. They bring the baby home and they realize, it's going to be nighttime. We have no idea what to do. Should we have the baby in our bed? Should we put the baby in a crib? Should the baby be in another room? What do you tell parents in that very first night?
Yeah. So I personally follow AAP sleep recommendations. So we want the baby in a crib, bassinet, or pack and play, not in the parent's bed. We want them in a safe, separate sleep environment on a safely approved mattress. These are all highly regulated in the US and I think in many countries around the world. I want the baby having a bedtime routine from the beginning. It sounds crazy, like your baby doesn't know which end is up, and maybe they don't right now, but implementing a bedtime routine and having little rituals that come right before sleep are really, really helpful, even for newborns. They catch on very quickly. So, you know, for newborns, it can be something as simple as singing the same song before you put them down. It could be reading them a book and then singing them a song. But we want to make sure that we have a little bit of a ritual that happens before bed. And as they get older, that bedtime routine can be built out to be a little bit more substantial. But we want to give them some sleep cues. And then we want to have what I call some positive sleep association. So, you know, some white noise at a safe level. We want to use a swaddle because they're still absolutely coming up against that Morrow reflex. So we want them wrapped nice and tight. And really, we just want to, one of my main hacks for newborns is to actually have them sleep. I call it horizontal sleeping in their bassinet or pack and play or crib during the day as much as possible. Now, of course, contact naps are going to happen. Naps on the go are going to happen. This is just the reality. We don't want parents to feel nap trapped, where they're stuck inside all day with their newborn. We want them to get out and about. Parents enjoy their maternity or paternity leaves. But if we're home and we're just sort of hanging around in the living room, I love for babies to just sleep safely on their backs during the day as much as possible, because parents are less tired during the day and they can work on it. And come nighttime, like, that's the hardest time to work on it. If your baby doesn't want to be put down at 3 a.m., you're too tired to make good decisions and to really practice. But if you can practice it at 10 o'clock in the morning, you're conditioning your baby to feel more comfortable sleeping in that position overnight. So those are some of the things that I put into place. You know, we want to feed every couple of hours rather than snacking all day. We want to, you know, feed every 2 to 3 hours. Ideally, we would love to feed at the beginning of a wake window rather than right before they go to sleep. But in the very, very first days, you know, your baby's sleeping all the time. It's hard to really put all of that into place. But these are things that we're working on as the baby grows.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow. There's a lot there. So
yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah. it's exhausting, it sounds like. But so what do you do in the case where the baby is crying? Because I'm sure all different babies have different reactions and responses in terms of crying. And some of them are good sleepers and some of them are, you know, have trouble. What's the best advice related to crying?
Yeah. So this is so family dependent and so baby dependent, because I think a lot of parents have different levels of anxiety or nerves around their baby crying. Babies cry for different reasons, right? I would say that the most important thing when your baby is crying is to, for just a moment, pause. Rather than like immediately stopping the crying, let's stop. Let's observe, let's listen, and let's try to understand the crying as communication, because that's really what it is, right? And if you're always just plugging up the noise, whether it's popping in a pacifier or rocking them back to sleep, we're not really figuring out why are they upset? Why are they communicating? What is it that they really need? Right. And so if we stop and just pause for a moment, we can notice body language. We can see tired cues. We can see hungry cues. We can see a baby that's just bored. Right. And so taking a moment to actually pay attention and learn what your baby is saying, I think is really, really valuable. For parents who are nursing in the beginning, sometimes it's like an instinct to just immediately put the baby to the breast every time they're crying. And if we are trying to establish milk supply and make sure the baby's gaining weight in the early, like first few days, absolutely, that is the plan. But once the baby has gotten back to birth weight and they're growing appropriately, and they're in a little bit of a groove, when a baby cries, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're hungry. They might just be tired. They might be, the sun might be in their eyes. They might have, their feet might be cold. So let's stop, pause, think, and troubleshoot in a way that leads to actually solving the problem rather than just quieting the noise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that you have heard the debate between, you know, cry it out or don't cry it out. And I'm also sure that my listeners would have questions about that. Tell me, what are your thoughts on that? What's really going on? What should parents be looking for? And
yeah, so the evidence is actually pretty clear on this. It's not really, you know, it's controversial amongst moms and parents. It's not controversial in the medical community and in the scientific community. You know, evidence is clear that cry it out, extinction is safe, effective, actually benefits the maternal mental health. Okay. And so it's okay to let your baby cry it out if they just are tired and need to go to sleep. Now, I personally don't love to use the extinction method for night weaning. I think that that feels unnecessary and there are way more reasonable ways to go about it. But as far as like teaching your baby just how to fall asleep on their own, putting them down and and giving them time. I like to call it trying it out rather than crying it out. Like, we're just giving a baby or a child an opportunity to try to fall asleep in a new way. And when children are given an opportunity to try something new, whether it's sleeping in a new way, peeing or pooping on the potty, learning to ride a scooter, learning to zipper their own coat, there are usually tears involved in all of those experiences. And it's okay for children to be temporarily upset while learning a new skill. And babies who are supported and in loving homes are totally okay to learn to fall asleep on their own. That being said, if extinction sounds like it doesn't align with the way that you want to handle it, there are lots of ways to teach a baby to fall asleep on their own without just putting them down and waiting until they fall asleep. All sleep training methods or techniques are actually just gradual or more speedy progressions towards a baby doing it on their own. So, you know, if parents are super anxious about the process, and let's say the baby is being nursed to sleep, maybe we just start by rocking them to sleep. And after they get used to being rocked to sleep, then maybe we put them down and offer them some shushing and patting and some jiggling and some stroking down the forehead, down the nose. And once they get good at that, maybe we reduce our physical support and we're just shushing. So there's lots of ways to work on it. In my experience, babies communicate their dissatisfaction no matter what, right? Like, it, for a baby who is used to being nursed to sleep and then you just rock them to sleep, they're still going to communicate their preference that they would rather be nursed to sleep. And so, you know, babies, we don't want to stop a child's communication. I actually think that it's really important for parents to become comfortable with their children expressing their emotions, right? And we need to hold sturdy and steady and remain calm and supportive while our children are experiencing moderate and temporary discomfort while learning something new. You know, like, my son is in seventh grade and his math homework is really hard sometimes. And when he says he can't do it, we don't say to him, "Oh, no worries, we'll do it for you." Right? Like, that is not the response. Right. The response is, "I know this is hard and I hear you that you're frustrated and I believe that you can do it." And maybe we sit next to him, maybe we give him prompts, or maybe we just say, "Bud, I know you can do this. Like, get up to the office and like crank it out." And either way is okay, you know, like he'll get it. And I view sleep training really as being the same.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Okay. So one more question, and then we're going to transition over into the business of sleep consulting. But whether it be infant, toddler, child, whatever it may be, the client base that you work with, what would you say are some of the top mistakes that parents make when it comes to their child and sleep?
Yeah. So I would say that the number one mistake that parents make is they make decisions based on their child's response. And when parents are making decisions based on how their child is responding, then really the child is leading the process. And I see this a lot with like 3 and 4 year olds, right? You know, parents have a really solid plan in place. They even sit down with their child and they have a family meeting and they role play and they totally front load their child with the expectations and the plan. And then bedtime rolls around and their child throws an epic tantrum, running around the room, throwing things. And then all of a sudden, the parents change their plan. And when parents change their plan due to just their discomfort with their child's emotions or reaction, the child is then learning that, oh, if I start throwing things or banging my body against the wall, my parents will just bring me into their bed or whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think the most important thing, and this is why it's so important to land on a strategy that feels safe and comfortable for you as parents. Our children, they hear our words and they also hear our actions. It's all communication, right? And when we say one thing and we do another, that's really, really confusing for children.
Right.
And so it's really, I'm always telling parents, it's so important that you follow through with your plan. Your plan is safe. Your plan is okay. It's all right if your child is temporarily upset. Let's hold steady. Let's be sturdy. Let's show up confidently for our child. You know, if you were at the pediatrician's office and they were going to do blood work and the baby starts crying because they don't want to be poked and prodded, the pediatrician wouldn't say like, oh, no, we're going to skip the blood work today. Like, no, they're just going to like hold the baby's arm and they're going to say, we're going to do this quickly and you're going to be good to go. Right. And so I want parents to show up with that confident pediatrician energy where, you know, even if the child is a bit dysregulated and frustrated and upset, the parents are holding steady, confident, and calm through the process.
Great, great. Yeah, I mean, obviously, the biggest piece of what you're talking about here is behavior, right? Learning behaviors, whether it be a child or whether it be an adult, you know, on my side, dealing with adults with insomnia and other types of sleep issues, sleep primarily is a behavioral process. And behavior changes by consistency over time. And so many people will say, well, I tried that for 1 hour or maybe one night and it didn't work. Well, it doesn't mean it didn't work. It means you haven't stuck with it long enough for the behavior to change. It requires, you know, consistency. So, yeah, I see that all across the sleep spectrum and even other mental health issues. So really, really important point there. Okay, so let's do this. Let's take another break. And when we come back from this break, we're going to talk about the business of sleep consulting. So stay tuned. We'll be back with Jane Havens. I'm your host, Andrew Kolsky, and we'll see you on the other side of the break.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Be sure to visit sleepsciencetoday.com for access to all of our channels and special offers.
Sleep Science Today. And sleep better tonight.
All right. Welcome back to Sleep Science Today. We are just about to talk about the business of sleep consulting. Jane, can you tell us, how does someone get started in this? Where do they get training? How do they even figure out the first step?
Yeah. So many people who get into this field actually have had similar experiences to what I described of my own, you know, parenting journey, where, you know, maybe you struggled with sleep somewhere along the line with your children. Maybe you sought out support or figured it out on your own and had a really transformative experience. And now you want to get into this work yourself. I also see a lot of teachers wanting to get into this work, nurses wanting to get into this work. I tend to think it's like, it's helper people. It's people who want to support other parents or children. If you decide that you want to get certified, I would be honored if you would consider Center for Pediatric Sleep Management. Our program is online. It's self-paced. You have lifetime access to the curriculum. You can move through it, you know, in a way that works for you. People tell me that it binges like a Netflix series, which is always the biggest compliment. And, you know, I can guarantee that you'll learn a ton. Once you go through a certification program, you want to make sure that you have really great support around you, because growing a business is hard, right? For somebody who has never started their own business before, that's usually the scariest part. It's like, what happens if I can't grow my business? And so inside of the CPSM community, we are chatting daily together. We are talking business growth strategies. We are helping one another figure out how to successfully advance our businesses. So it's important to have the right support. And then you get out there and you start talking to families. There's a million and one ways to find clients. It's sort of like anything else. If you think about, a nutritionist or a trainer at the gym or an occupational therapist who has their own private practice, it's all about, in my opinion, talking to people. And your business grows, I think, so much faster when other people are talking about your business than when you're talking about your own business. So, right. If you can, one of my best referral sources is actually the preschool director where my kids went to preschool. She refers families to me all the time. Another referral source for me is actually a psychotherapist who supports moms postpartum who, they come to her and they are presenting as having postpartum anxiety, postpartum depression. And one thing this therapist always says to me is she's like, sometimes it's not that. Sometimes it's literally just sleep deprivation. And she can't help them from through a clinical lens until these women are sleeping better. And so she refers parents to me all the time. But it's really just sort of like getting the education and having a support system and then getting out there and talking to people, networking, and building out a clientele. I've been doing this work now since I've been getting paid for it since, I think, 2018. And at this point, I really don't need to do much marketing. I don't need to most of my clients come to me because they got my name from a friend who I worked with either recently or a few years ago. So, once you get some momentum, once you lead families to success, your name will spread.
Right, right. Well, so let me back up a little bit to the training part. The certification that you have developed, is that are there videos? Is it written material? What exactly is in the program?
Yeah, it's a combination of reading and video content. There's also some audio-only content. I recognize that people learn in different ways, and I want to provide as many different opportunities to really absorb the information in a way that works for as many people as possible. The course covers the science of sleep. It covers safe sleep practices. We go over sleep as it relates to different developmental ages and stages. So what's happening at that 3 to 4 month mark? What's happening at 8 or 9 months, when a baby's pulling to stand? What's happening at 13 months when a baby gets separation anxiety? What are all of these different moments that could negatively impact sleep and how are we managing those situations? You'll learn all different sleep training techniques and coaching strategies. We also talk about unique circumstances, how to support the special needs community, how to work with multiples, how to deal with when a child gets sick or you're traveling and you're out of your routine. And then you'll actually learn how to write a plan for a family. You'll learn how to get onto these phone calls and have conversations with parents so that they really can trust that you're going to lead them to success. And then, the back end of the course is just really jam-packed with all different tools to give you different options for how to grow your business. We talk about how to use social media to grow your business, and we talk about how to grow your business without social media. We talk about email marketing. We talk about search engine optimization. Literally everything. And so there are a million and one ways to grow a successful business, and you don't need to do everything. I actually don't love to hang out on social media. That's not my thing. I like to connect with people face to face, person to person. And so, you got to figure out what works for you and take what you like, leave the rest, and put it into action.
Great, great. Okay. I've got a couple of questions about that, but the one that first I'd like to ask is, it sounds like your course is pretty comprehensive and there's a lot in there. How many hours should someone expect to have to put in to get through the entire thing?
Yeah, this is $1 million question. I always have a hard time answering this because it is a combination of reading and video content, and there are written exercises. So it sort of feels hard for me to answer that. I usually say 50 to 60 hours only because I took a poll a couple of years ago, and that was sort of what the most people said was about 50 to 60 hours. But there was a wide range of normal where people got through it faster and others took way longer. I should also note that I am not the expert in everything, and there are contributing, I do not teach every lesson in the course. There's an IBCLC who does a training on how to sleep train a breastfed baby. There's a psychotherapist who talks about how to support moms who are struggling with perinatal mood and anxiety disorders. There are all sorts, we have a sleep medicine physician who talks about when to refer out. So the training is really, really robust, and we actually are always adding to the curriculum. We don't resell to our online course community. Once you enroll in Center for Pediatric Sleep Management, you get lifetime access to the course and any continuing education that we provide at no additional cost. So people who enrolled back in 2019, 2020 are still learning with us today. And that is one of the main draws to our program, is that they have continued community and support and education, and it's a one-time fee.
Right, right. Okay, fantastic. Thank you for clarifying that. A separate question now, which is different from that, which goes into something else you were talking about from a marketing perspective, and you were talking about social media and all the different ways that people can get themselves out there. I can hear in the back of my head a question that some people listening might have, which is, well, if this person is going to be working with my baby and me, and then they're doing all the social media stuff, what about my privacy? Are they putting, you know, pictures and things of my baby out online without my consent?
Yeah, I would hope not. I would certainly hope not. Sometimes I don't spend a ton of time on social media, but when I was first getting started, I did a little more of that. And I would always protect the privacy of my clients. You know, I would post a screenshot of a mom texting me like, I can't believe Lucy slept all night last night. Like, we've never had that before. You know, I took a shower last night without having to hold my baby at the same time, whatever. If I'm ever sharing any of that, Any personal information is always blacked out. It's always with the intention of just being like the message behind it. Nobody ever knows who it is. And if I'm ever sharing pictures or videos of children, which I really never do, but if I was going to do that, I would certainly seek permission first.
So you talked about, you know, the referrals that you get, the word of mouth, the sharing that people do amongst each other when they work with someone who they like and who they trust. And that sounds like that is sort of the primary business development tool that a sleep consultant would use. But when you talk about online, and we've got everything from LinkedIn to Instagram to Facebook to all these different places, do you find that one is more effective than the other for what your needs are?
So I personally like Facebook if I'm going to be on the internet to grow my business. And the reason I like Facebook is because, you know, if you think about Facebook was really created to be a social networking platform, right? Like, it's social networking. You're supposed to actually connect with other people and talk to them and meet them and ask questions and get answers. And so the whole idea is that you're communicating with people all over the world or locally. You know, if you're in a local mom's Facebook group, I live in Baltimore, Maryland. So, like, you know, if somebody posts in a Baltimore mom's group, you know, my baby's up every hour, does anyone know anyone that can help me? A bunch of my friends will chime in and say, you got to talk to Jane, right? So I like Facebook because it's a place where communication and conversation is expected, right? And so that would be my favorite. I don't love like Instagram or TikTok for growing a business personally, because I think people are just there to scroll. They're there to be entertained. And there's less communication and conversation happening on those platforms. You know, LinkedIn is something that I keep talking about. I got to figure that out. And I just, you know, my husband's on LinkedIn all day, and I keep telling him, like, can you do my LinkedIn for me? I don't know how to do this. I think LinkedIn would be great because it's a professional space to connect with other professionals for the sake of, you know, building your network and a referral stream. I just haven't done that yet. But to answer your direct question, I think the best place to grow your business is wherever you feel most comfortable, right? I'm comfortable on Facebook because I went to college in Boston. I was literally in Boston when Facebook went from like Harvard to MIT to BU. Like I was an early adopter. And wow. So it's really like where I've been my whole adult life. And so I'm very comfortable there. And so I would say with younger people who are just, you know, getting into this field and they're not on Facebook because Facebook is for older people like me, then maybe they're more comfortable on Instagram or TikTok or who knows what comes next.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. Thank you. Well, we actually have run out of time. So, Jane Havens, can you give us your website address so that if people want to find you, they can easily find you?
That would be great. Thank you so much for asking. If you're a parent and you're struggling with sleep, my website is thesnoozefest.com. And if you're interested in becoming a sleep consultant, it's thecpsm.com. I also have a podcast called Becoming a Sleep Consultant. So if you just want to learn more about the field and what it's like to do this work, the Becoming a Sleep Consultant podcast is a great place to just get some more information.
And where do they find that podcast?
It's anywhere, Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for joining us today. This has been Sleep Science Today. Hopefully the listeners have gained some new information and maybe even a new career. I'm your host, Andrew Kolsky. Always remember to check out our website, sleepsciencetoday.com, and we will see you on a future episode.
You have been listening to Sleep Science Today, your number one sleep authority.
Sleep Science Today. And sleep better tonight.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.